Hey everybody, welcome to The Context Machine, episode number 694. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamma. And Brian, since apparently lately I've just been calling out interesting things about our episode numbers, each digit in this week's episode.
694.
Yep, they're all evenly divisible.
That's some weak sauce, man.
All right. Let's see. So that's 19. If you add them all together, which is not evenly divisible. Let's see. Okay. So we have 6 is 3 times 2.
Uh-huh.
All right. And 9 is 2 threes. Ooh.
Oh, good Lord. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine, or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social. And I am not rewarding your misbehavior, sir.
Yeah, well, whatever, because we have 2 sponsors today, Brian, and that's cool. Pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, we have... we have Framer and Copilot Money, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Also, look, it's not my fault that 694 is not that remarkable of a number, but I tried, okay?
Yeah, but
I tried to make it feel special special time.
You already had the great one where you did the like, it was a, wasn't the last one, was it? Anyway, whatever. We'll tell you more about Framer and Copilot Money in the show. Yeah. Later in the show, we're going to tell you more about them. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. So we should talk about other things before that.
Yeah, we should.
You know, just to build up the excitement.
Yeah, that's fair. I wanted to talk a little bit about this Malwarebytes. I'm a Malwarebytes user. And I got an alert about some Google scam ads. So this is quoting from the Malwarebytes newsletter. They're saying that researchers have found evidence that AI conversations were inserted in Google search results to mislead Mac OS users into installing the Atomic Mac OS Stealer. Both Grok and ChatGPT were found to have been abused in these attacks. So in other words, someone is using search results to steer Mac users
to malicious
yeah.
links.
Yeah. So, and the way it works is that they were finding that the AI instructions on several topics, this AI instructions on how to deal with them, essentially included lines where you would use your command line to install the malware for the bad guys.
Oh man. So, okay. I imagine there's some people that be like, well, that's really stupid. You can just look at what you're copying and pasting. Okay. For a lot of people, it might as well be gibberish that they're copying because they have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible. And so we wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of this. They include some instructions. We have a link to this article.
Of course we will.
Yeah. Do you have that link already? Nope. I don't think
you do. Yes. No, I do. Google Ads funnel Mac users to poisoned AI chats that spread the Amos Info Stealer by Peter Arntz.
Arntz. Are you high today?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. No, but with the insane wind storms we've been having, like on Wednesday and today, as we're recording, it's like hurricane force winds, gusts over 100 miles an hour, all of that. And so the barometric pressure has been like this crazy roller coaster, and it affects me clearly in That's a fair. Really messed up way.
Right. That's fair. All right. So they have a section in this Malwarebytes article titled How to Stay Safe. I'm going to quote from some of that from some of that, because I feel like there's some really great advice in here. So this is a quote. I'm going to say I, but I'm actually quoting the person who wrote the article. So he says, quote, first and foremost, and I can't say this often enough, don't click on sponsored search results. We have seen so many cases where sponsored results lead to malware that we recommend skipping them or make sure you never see them. At best, they cost the company you look for money. At best, they cost the company money, and at worst, you fall prey to imposters. So that's terrific advice. Not clicking on sponsored search results is terrific advice.
You know, I am so with you on that. And I always scroll past the search results, sponsored search results, even if the result that I'm looking for is a sponsored result.
Right. Same. And I, sometimes, though, if it's a company that I don't particularly like, I will click on their sponsored result so that they have to pay for me to get to them.
You're just a devious.
I'm petty, and you know, look for those ways to microtransact the big companies in particular. So anyway, they also said, if you're thinking about following, this is a quote again, if you're thinking about following a sponsored advertisement, check the advertiser first. Is it the company you'd expect to pay for that ad? Click the three-dot menu next to the ad, then choose options like About This Ad or About This Advertiser to view the verified advertiser's name and location.
That's really good advice.
Right, and I feel like it's advice that most people will not take even if they've heard it.
You know, since I scroll past the sponsored results, I'm not doing this, but I should do it anyhow. And I should be telling people about this too. So
right.
I'm glad that this is a thing in the article and that you called it out.
Right. They also, and this will shock you, they recommend using real-time anti-malware protection. For instance, Malwarebytes.
Oh, well, so, that's convenient. Yeah.
They also say never run copy-pasted commands from random pages or forums, even if they're hosted on seemingly legitimate domains, and especially not commands that look like, and they've got a command that's curl dot, 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 pipe bash or similar combinations.
Yeah. Yep. That's excellent advice.
So if you've scanned your Mac and found the Amos information stealer, remove any suspicious login items, launch agents, or launch daemons from the library folders to ensure the malware does not persist after rebooting. Anyway, they've got more instructions on this, but I thought that this advice to not click on sponsored search results, because they are finding that more and more of these sponsored results are including links to malware, I feel like that's super important.
That's super important. Yeah.
And this reminds me of two things that I've recently seen. One is something like 10% of Meta's profits were derived from scam ads.
Yeah.
And I am sure that a not insignificant amount of Google's profits are also coming from scam ads, to wit these sponsored posts that include links to malware.
Yeah, the Facebook, the Meta ads, I saw somewhere, and of course I did not tag the article so that I can find it again. But there's a thing about Meta has two different ad rates. So the scammers pay a higher ad rate. So it's like they know that they're pumping out scam ads to users.
Now, Meta is such – Mark Zuckerberg is such a twerp. He is such a crappy little tiny twerp. He does not have the wisdom to wield the power he has amassed. I've been saying that for years.
I was about to call that out for you, but you beat me to it. So well done. Mm-hmm. I was going to credit you too.
Well, thanks. I'm not worried about it. It's so frustrating, man.
Yeah. But bringing it back to the happy part of this, or the warm fuzzy part, at least, at the end of the article, there's a line that, and I will now quote from the Malwarebytes article, quote, "If this all sounds too difficult for you to do yourself, ask someone or a company you trust to help you." And then they have a link to their support team. So like if you're finding information for, like, hey, use this command line thing to fix your problem, but now you're like, oh crap, I don't know if that's right, their support team will actually help you. So that's very cool.
Yeah, that is cool. The other article, actually, this was not an article. This is I think this is a reel that I saw, and this was a reel not based on new news. It was just someone who was retrospectively looking back at this issue. But the point of it was that Google made the tactical decision several years ago to deliberately encrapify their own search results in order to increase usage. And part of the point is that when you've got 80% share, how do you increase your page views?
You make people have to view more pages.
Yes. So they deliberately started taking out and removing some of the fantastic advancements that they had made in providing search results that were relevant to you, so that you would have to go through more page views to actually find the results that you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. The target, as I recall, was get everyone to have to do like three searches or see three pages to be able to find the search results that they actually want, instead of just giving them those search results right up front.
Yeah. And that choice was absolute evil, in my opinion. And
well, this is why they took Do No Evil off their walls. One of the many reasons.
Yeah, I mean, one of the many reasons. So that when Jeff and I were talking about this before we started recording, you mentioned, Jeff, about the increase in people who were using LLMs like ChatGPT and Perplexity, and et cetera. In place of a search engine.
Yeah, it's becoming more common. And I mean, like, so much so that companies like Google are trying to get people to use their LLMs to do those searches so that they can maintain their top spot as the go-to place for web searches.
Right. And I feel like Google should look back at that decision and regret it. That decision to remove all the things that made their search results excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And because if they hadn't, there would not have been room for LLMs to gain this kind of traction for search results.
Yeah, I mean, LLMs may have been able to gain traction still because they can offer your search results in a different way, which can be useful in some situations. However, I don't think they would have been able to gain the traction that they have as quickly as they have.
Yeah.
Google's enshittification is their own undoing.
You just gave me an
edit. No, that's a word. That's an actual word. Cory Doctorow made that word.
Okay.
It's not considered, anyhow. yeah, you don't have to edit that one.
Okay, fair enough. It won't be in beepification.
If it is, only bats and dogs will understand the word, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's you know what's funny? When we started doing the show, but going back multiple years before that, when Dave and I started doing the Mac Observer, you know, tech companies weren't the bad guys. Well, Microsoft was the bad guy. But I mean, it's like the tech companies have almost all become bad guys, man. That they do crap things for crap reasons.
Yeah. It's very frustrating because you and I have been able to watch the usability of the internet and online tools in general decline in real time.
Some things have gotten better.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have access to more information now, but the other side of that is now you have to do 3 Google searches to be able to find it, or use a LLM and hope that it didn't hallucinate.
Yeah, the hallucination issue is a significant thing. And also, now every time I see a video, I question it. Every time I see a book cover, I question it. Every time,
yes,
I'm seeing. I hate that. That I have been given cause to question almost everything constantly, always and forever. And I freaking hate that.
I'm with you. I feel that it's healthy to have a level of skepticism so that you at least have the awareness so that you're more likely to see fake stuff, scams, and be able to call it out for what it is. But the place we are now, where you just now simply have to assume that everything you're seeing online is fake, it's AI generated, it's not what it appears to be, and now we have to do all this extra investigation beyond what we otherwise would have done. Yeah, just to be able to figure out if something we're looking at is legit. And it's horrible how much I see online that is either obviously fake or very quickly falls apart under scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. And the many reactions to it from people who are obviously oblivious.
Yes.
That, you know, that they're consuming fake content.
I get messages from friends on a regular basis with information that's fake, but they don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I have to send the messages back and let them know. And when I say have to send the messages back, I don't mean it like, oh, God, I have to do that. It's like, oh, yeah, I need to do my due diligence and help educate them. And for any of my friends that are listening, And you send me things, and if you're thinking, oh crap, am I one of those people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you have the insight to be able to say, oh crap, am I one of those people? Then no, you're not.
Right, that's fair. That's fair. All right. I feel like you should probably tell us about Framer.
Oh, I would love to do that. Okay, so Framer, first off, thanks for being our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Framer First, they already built the fastest way to publish beautiful production-ready websites. And now it's redefining how we design for the web. With the recent launch of Design Pages, a free Canvas-based design tool, Framer is more than a site builder. It's a true all-in-one platform, from social assets to campaign visuals to vectors and icons, all the way to a live site. Framer is where ideas go to live, start to finish. And they help you have your entire workflow in one place. You don't have to worry about things like Figma imports, messing with HTML. It's faster, it's cleaner, it's more efficient. So here's the deal. If you're ready to design, iterate, and publish all in one tool, start creating for free at framer.com/design and use the code TCM for a free month of Framer Pro. That's framer.com/design and use the promo code TCM. Once again, framer.com/design. Promo code is TCM. Rules and restrictions may apply. And thank you, Framer, for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you very much for being our sponsor. Thanks for telling us about them, Jeff.
Oh, sure.
Let's also tell people about the thing that you told me about and then tricked me into buying.
You are welcome. Brian, first, if it's any consolation, I do this to Chuck Joyner from Mac Voices Live all the time. I spend so much of his money.
Oh, that's excellent. I approve. Yeah. I approve.
Okay, great. So, I found this great app called Festivitas. Since we're in the holiday season.
We assume that's what it's called.
We
assume that's how to pronounce the name, I should say.
You know, I'm going to take a page out of your book. We are right, Brian.
Okay, I don't know what page I wrote that on, but yes, let's go with it. So we were right. Festivitas. Yay!
Festivitas. So yeah, it's this cool little holiday app that lets you put like holiday light strings on your menu bar and on your dock, on your Mac. You can make it snow on your home screen, and it'll even keep track of where your mouse pointer is. So the snow blows away from your mouse pointer, so that you're not having to look at obscured whatever's on your screen because snow's in the way. And they even do this thing where they've made some shortcuts. So you can do stuff like not have the snow happening, but if it's going to snow, the shortcut is checking the weather report, and it'll make it snow on your desktop.
Which is probably more convenient for places that have snow.
True. Okay, so a place here like Colorado, where apparently we used to have snow. Yeah, that'd be great. But
now you have hurricanes.
Holy forking shirt balls. Yeah. But yeah, you can change the lights. You have a bunch of settings for that. You can change the settings for snow. And it's just this fun, cool little app. And it's a pay what you want app. And their suggested price is €4, which is just totally worth it for a little bit of happiness on your desktop. And they do have an iPhone and an iPad app as well, which you can download for free, but it's feature limited. So unless you pay. Yeah. Yep. And if you pay, then it does this thing with the widgets, so that you can have like light strings that go up one side of your iPhone or iPad display across the top and then down the other, and still have all your app icons where they're supposed to be. Anyhow, it's cool and it's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
I'm so glad that I tricked you into buying it.
So one thing I would like to know is, are these snowflakes, are they fractal, and are they all different? I'm sure that that's not the case, because that would be an incredible CPU load, but I would love it if they were.
If they mimic real snowflakes, apparently the thing you and I were taught as kids, that every single snowflake is unique, is not true.
La, 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 so, I can't hear you. La, 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 la.
Oh, no, I ruined part of Brian's reality. Okay, so everywhere except around Brian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, regardless, the snow was cool. I've had it going on my screen now for about an hour and a half, and I have largely accepted its presence, even though it's incredibly distracting. And I also turned on wind. So you can turn wind that will have the snowflakes blowing in a particular direction. So that coupled with the force field, I've been using that strategically to get the snow out of my way. Also, I realized that the lights will also move away.
Yes, from. If you get your cursor near the light strands, they pop up out of the way.
Right. That's actually super convenient. This app is fun, folks. You should check it out.
Yeah, and just so everyone knows, not a paid spot. This is just a thing that I found that I just delighted me. So, of course, I had to spend Brian's money on it, too.
Yeah, it's fair. It will also put a string of lights on your dock.
Mm-hmm.
So, for what that's worth.
Yeah.
I feel anyhow, like you just,
lots of fun.
You just lost some power?
No, my bread just finished.
Oh, do you need to get it?
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm going to take advantage of Jeff getting his bread out to tell you about Copilot Money. Copilot Money is the money tracking app designed to make your money feel clear, calm, and fully yours. It brings all your accounts, spending, savings goals, and investments into one beautifully designed place, powered by smart automation and built with privacy at the center. Copilot Money is available on iOS, iPad, Mac, and now the web. I'm going to tell you about three of the eight different tabs in this app. So this is just a glimpse at what Copilot Money can do for you. There's the dashboard tab. It allows you to view new transactions, trending budget categories, upcoming recurrings, net income, and referral credits. The transaction tab allows you to review, filter, and export your transactions. You can also create new transactions and edit the details of existing transactions. And then there's the goals tab. This is a brand new savings goal tab, and it's designed to help you plan, track, and stay motivated as you work towards what matters most. In this tab, you can see an overview of your goal progress, create new goals, and contribute towards goals. So that is just, like I said, it's just a glimpse at what this app can do. And I might add that this app was the editor's choice for the App Store Awards. It was also a 2024 finalist for the Apple Design Awards, right? And they've got a whole host of other awards that they've earned. So for a limited time, you can get 26% off your first year when you sign up at try.copilot.money/context. And you can get 2 months free with code context. Start the new year with clarity, your money beautifully organized now across every device. We want to thank Copilot Money for sponsoring us, and we hope that you check them out.
Brian?
Yep.
I'm back.
Oh, how's so the bread?
Good. It smells so good. I did sneak a little taste of it, and I make some really fine bread.
That is excellent. So for our next topic.
Yeah, it's something that I wanted to make sure we called out, at least to start.
So the SFWA, that's the Science Fiction Writers Association, a group of which I am a member and which I have wanted to join since I first started my writing journey, and I was thrilled when I qualified for it. Anyway, whatever. They are the organization that is behind the Nebula Awards. If you're a science fiction reader, you probably have heard of the Nebula Awards. This is an mm-hmm. award that goes back decades and has, you know, it's been one of the major awards in the science fiction world. So they have clarified their amended rules for the Nebula Awards dealing with LLMs. And I wanted to sort of read some of the things that they've changed. They changed, for instance, quote, works that are wholly written using generative large language model LLM tools are not eligible. They've changed that to works that are written either wholly or partially by generative large language models tools are not eligible. And they also, I won't tell you what they changed it from, but the new text reads, quote, works that used LLMs at any point during the writing process must disclose this upon acceptance of the nomination, and those works will be disqualified. I feel like this is an important statement about LLMs.
So, okay, so with this part, they're actually saying, hey, if you used an LLM for anything at any point in the process of writing
the writing process. Work. Yeah, they're not specifically calling out LLM use for covers or art. And I wish they would, but they didn't, but they're concerned about the writing process. And part of that could be so the Science Fiction Writers Association is not geared towards independently published works. They're geared towards traditionally published works, and they have just in the last few years allowed indies to qualify. But a lot of publishers are keen on using, you know, anything they can to cut their costs. So that's sure. That's probably why this is strictly a guess on my part, and I'm not trying to throw any shade, but I'm assuming that that it is publishers not keen on are the publishers that are keen on cutting costs and whatnot are probably why they haven't targeted covers, but they're focused on the writing process.
Okay. So would I be right in interpreting, and of course now you're the expert. So like if I used an LLM to help me come up with unique names for characters, disqualified.
Yep.
Okay. So they're being like super strict. LLM, any part of the writing process, you're out.
Yep.
Okay.
You're out for the awards. I mean, you know, you can publish, you can do what you want. And I, whenever I see a defensive LLM use, you know, it's always from people who feel justified in cutting corners because they have to. That's how it always reads to me. I thought we could talk about a little bit about the ways that the creative world is reacting, and it's definitely a reaction to LLMs and LLM use. And so FSPSFC, I don't know why I can't remember it. The self-published science fiction contest. I don't know why I can never remember the name. That I'm a judge this year, right? We've talked about that in the past
episodes. Right, which is super cool.
Thank you. The rules this year prohibit the use of LLMs in the writing process, but they also didn't say anything. But they also did not address LLM use in covers in this year's rules. I'm hoping that changes for next year. But this is sort of related to my complaint about the ways that these tech bro crap products are making me have to spend time, you know, being careful and wary and disbelieving and, you know, and just you, like, I hate that I had to spend my time and effort to react against this tech bro dream.
Yeah, there's a meme that I have seen that that really clicked for me, and and I'm paraphrasing a little bit because I can't remember the exact wording, but it's AI was supposed to do my laundry and whatever so that I could focus on my art, not AI do my art so that I could focus on doing my laundry.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and the sentiment there, I'm so with that because I would rather have tools like this handling repetitive, mundane tasks, the tasks where it can go in and find details and information that I might otherwise miss, keep track of relationships between information, all the things where dealing with the data on a personal and private level can be like really useful so that I can focus on being more creative.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be creative so that I can focus on other work.
Yeah, that's fair. Or like, going back to talking about fetch.ai, that crypto that I like that is designed to allow agents on a blockchain to make decisions for us. I'm sorry, not make decisions, to make decisions and do things for us. For instance, buying our tickets or, the examples I always think about are in particular around transactions. Being able to find the best price for something, being able to find the best time to fly, arranging the connections that actually work, getting the finding the best hotel. I mean, like things like that, I would love AI help with.
Do you know how, I mean, of course you do, but I'm saying it anyhow. Do you know how useful this would have been if something like that was a thing back when we were both at Mac Observer and we were going to big conferences like CES, Macworld Expo, when that was still a thing? Mm-hmm. Being able to say, hey, we have five people that
we're taking. Oh my God.
Here's where everyone lives. Okay. Sort out all the flights and the hotels and get us the right deals. Make sure that there's no layovers for flights. We all need to be in the city by whatever time. And then that first night we're all getting together for dinner. Here are the dietary restrictions just like give it everything about the event and then let it sort all that stuff out, because we would spend crazy amounts of time working on all that stuff.
Let me blow your mind. How about designing my optimal path towards seeing vendors?
Oh, that would have been so useful.
Like,
here's all the companies that I need to see, and here's the products, and whatever, just all that stuff, feed it in and have it come up with the itinerary.
Yes.
And the map, the freaking map to get everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That would have been so useful. There are a million things that I like AI for. There are a few things, they're not a million things, but there are some things that I have used ChatGPT for. Mm-hmm. I don't want it helping me with my writing. I don't want it helping me with my covers. I don't want it helping me do music. I hate all the LLM generated crap that is permeating, especially Spotify.
Oh yeah, the whole Spotify thing.
Quit your Spotify accounts, folks. They're a crap company.
Yeah, they are really screwing over artists. So sad. It doesn't need to be that way. Nope. And yet here we are.
It does not need to be that way. Yeah. But, you know, there are some tech bros who think that they can get rich from it, and so far are getting
rich
from it.
And so far are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, on the conference thing, CES was so big. And, I mean, it was big enough that we had to have top people at the event and top people not at the event just to make it all work together. Mm-hmm. And
you're referring back to our days at the Mac Observer.
At the Mac Observer, yeah. So it'd be like me and Dave Hamilton and John Braun and depending on the year, there'd be other people that would be there. And you were there at first, but then you started staying behind and running the show away from CES, which while I loved getting to hang out with you at the event, from a business standpoint, to me, totally made sense because there was so much going on. There needed to be someone that wasn't running on the floor to watch for all the other stuff and keep all that coordinated. And yeah, but can you imagine being there on the floor? I've got that whole map, got all that stuff. It's all laid out for me. And then I get a message, hey, Jeff, here's this other thing that you should check out. And then I just give it to the AI and it sorts it all out for me.
Right. I assume that we will get to a place where that will be a reality.
I would love that.
But
see, that's like really useful AI for me on a personal level.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, and I know I've said it before, so I won't go deep into it. But, you know, there's so many really useful ways that AI is already benefiting us, you know, like in pharmaceuticals and cybersecurity, yeah, and stuff like that.
On the music side, the use of the machine learning to do things like break down old recordings into tracks, like was used for the Beatles thing that Peter Jackson did.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, that super legit, awesome use of machine learning, which, you know, is the real world, the real word for what is called AI. It's actually machine learning, right? And the software that Peter Jackson used for that has been further developed to be able to break down tracks to you know, like, that's not a thing that is replacing human creativity. That's replacing human drudgery.
Yeah, and in a case like that, it's also recovering what was up until that point forever lost.
Yeah,
which is, you know, the original recordings with everything broken out.
Yeah, and the Beatles used it for the last single that they did.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, there are places for machine learning. There are places for generative AI. There are places for LLMs. I would like to see it gotten out of the creative space, the creation creative space.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad we could sort this out.
Yeah, me too. I feel so much better about it. And I think you and I just made the world a better place.
That's
mostly you.
Yeah, it was mostly me. Yeah, that's fair. All right. On that note, that's this week's Apple Con. Good Lord, I did it again, Jeff.
Yeah,
I did it again. I was even looking at the notes, and the notes don't say anything about the Apple Contact.
Maybe you're a little nostalgic because we had just been talking about Mac Observer.
Yes,
actually, it's okay. Try again.
That's entirely correct. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And except for what Jeff's about to tell you, that is all for this week.
Right. Hey, thank you to Framer and Copilot Money for being our sponsors this week.
Right. Thank you very much for that, folks. And on that note...